Welcome to the jungle. Hey, now what's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. It is Friday. I'm feeling it. I've got an amazing show for you. Hit me, Alvin. I'll take one. All right, then. Friday. What's going on? I am Jim Rome. It is Friday. All day.
Friday.
Yesterday was Thursday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Saturday. Today's Friday. Then there's Sunday. Let's run them all down. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Hey, Hood, what's up?
Today's Friday.
Hey, guys, do your job. Your job does not include possessing cocaine. Do your job. That take is coming up a little bit later on. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's Friday.
Cocaine.
Do your job. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A very busy Friday. Welcome to the show. What's going on? It sets up like this. Open phones in hour number one. In hour number two, I've got back-to-back interviews. We'll talk some basketball, actually. Pistons guard, Langston Galloway, 20 past the second hour. Cornhusker fans, Adrian Martinez is in. That's in hour number two. Also coming up, Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker TJ Watt. Alvin's iconic week that was. My iconic ATP. And more. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter if you don't mind. At Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E. HaveATake.com. It's getaway weekend for me. I'm going to head out to Lubbock, Texas. I'm going to sit down with the head basketball coach of Texas Tech, Chris Beard. I'm going to do that for something for CBS that's going to air a little bit later on. So I'm hyped. I'm fired up. Come and get some. Get up in here. All right, why don't we start with something that I never thought that I would ever say on this show. Something I never have said on this show. That was one hell of a night of exhibition football. Now, there were a lot of things that you hate to see and some things that you never, ever see. Things like Tom Brady lumbering, I mean, scrambling to pick up a first down against the Panthers. Something you never, ever see. And then there are things that you never want to see. Like Cam Newton leaving Foxborough in a walking boot. Ian Rappaport reported that it's a midfoot sprain. Now, Cam has taken more hits than any quarterback in the NFL dating back to 2011. He's already getting pounded, and the season hasn't even started yet. And if protecting him was not already an issue, one of his offensive linemen left with a concussion. Again, something you never want to see. A former MVP leaving the game, a preseason game. Hey, you want to know the very best way to protect your best and most important player? You want to know the best way to do that? Don't play him in the preseason at all. That's how you protect your best player. That's how you protect your most important player. Don't play him. Meantime, in the discussion of concussions, you also have Washington's Jordan Reed. He was evaluated after he suffered one against Atlanta. DJ Clark left Jacksonville's game with a concussion after he dented his skull. And then you've got the case of Robert Kemdichie. He was released by the Cardinals for being in terrible shape as he worked his way back from an injury. He was then signed by the Dolphins, and it does not sound like he's gotten in much better shape. Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald tweeted, Robert Kemdichie, who joined the Dolphins a couple of weeks ago, is on active PUP. He does not seem to be in any sort of football shape. Tried to run gassers pregame and could not complete a run across the field and all the way back. End of tweet. Keep in mind, that run across the field is just over 50 yards, right? So that's not good. You know you're in horrible shape when somebody asks you to run across the field the short way and you're unable to do it. If you can't run just over 54 yards without taking a knee, this probably is not the game or the job for you. Time to find another line of work. If the coaches ask you to run across the field the short way, and they've got to roll the golf cart in before you're done, you're in the wrong line of work. If you can't finish a run across the short way of the field without a skateboard or a golf cart or crutches or a wheelchair, timeout, timeout, substitution for Robert. Bro, that's not good. That's not good. Because of all the insanity of the short fields, and the exhibition games, let me tell you something. I need some music here, Avi. That's it. Give me the bed. The bed for the insanity and the short fields and the wind. Because nothing, despite everything I've already talked about and I saw last night, nothing will ever top the Green Bay Packers playing the Oakland Raiders in Winnipeg on an 80-yard field. That's right, you heard me. An 80-yard field. Two NFL teams played an NFL game on an 80-yard field. And no, that's not a joke. Well, actually, that is a joke. One of the biggest jokes ever. And a complete embarrassment. But it is real. And it really was in Canada. And it really did involve the Raiders. How does a team end up playing in Winnipeg on an 80-yard field? The answer is so exhibition. So Raiders. And so infinitely whack. You see, according to reports, the Raiders did not have an official lease in Oakland at the time the exhibition season schedule was announced. So when they were given a home game for week three, they didn't actually have a home. And then on top of that, the A's were playing in the Coliseum this week, so they had to find another location. You know, because it would have been completely ridiculous to play football on a baseball field, right? That can't happen. So, they allegedly reached out to, worked out great. It turns out the plan to move the goalposts from the CFL spot to the NFL spot did not go so well. And there were holes on the field. So, and what? Is that a problem? Is having a hole in the field a big deal? Yeah, I guess so, because apparently there were crews working to repair the field up to 20 minutes before kickoff, which might be my favorite part of all. Again, how is that possible? Did they just find out that there was going to be a game last night? Like, oh crap, that's tonight? Damn, I didn't know that. Why didn't somebody tell me? I got to get my ass to the field. They kick in an hour. Like, how's that possible? Especially when the powers that be are constantly trying to sell us on how important the exhibition season is. Trying to tell us that the exhibition season is critical. Something that we have to take seriously. Yeah, well, not if you're playing on 80-yard fields. It's not. Not if the coaches see that 80-yard field and immediately rip every one of their starters from the game. It's not. How the hell was that issue not addressed ahead of time? How was it not addressed in advance? How was one of the first questions not, hey, what are we going to do about the giant holes in the field when we take out those goalposts? And no, I don't want to get into a back and forth about who's to blame because it really doesn't matter. What matters is before the game started, the NFL had to release a special statement. A statement which said they were playing on a special field. And by special, I mean, quote, reconfigured. What an awesome job. Great job. Great effort. Everybody. One of the worst looks ever. And I love it. I love that they had to put out that statement and they had to spin. How are you feeling if you paid good, hard-earned Canadian money to see an exhibition game between these two legendary teams, and then you have to watch it on a, quote, reconfigured field? Man, it takes a big brass set of gonad to call an 80-yard field a reconfigured field. That'd be like the NBA having a game with no hoops and calling it a reconfigured court. And best of all, I love that the 10-yard line was the goal line. I love the fact that they had to get rid of kickoffs and replace them with the ball being given to the receiving team. They should have just had a punt, pass, and kick competition in the parking lot and called it a night. It would have been so much less embarrassing. Then again, if they did that, we would have missed out on the Raiders and fullback Keith Smith scoring a touchdown and not knowing that he scored a touchdown. Let me set the play up for you. One of my favorite plays ever. The Raiders offense has the ball at the 15. No, I mean at the 5. And they strike Pater at the 10. Goal line. Roll it.
Second down and goal from the 15. Play action. Throwing on it is Smith hanging on. Touchdown, Raiders.
That's an old key play out of John Gruden's staple called Spider 3.
I don't know about you, but I've watched that play 24 times. It makes me laugh out loud every single time. That is one of my all-time favorite highlights. Everything about it.
Laugh
calling
out loud.
The 15-yard line, the 5-yard line, and Smith battling for extra yards, even though he's already in the end zone. And the reason he's battling for extra yards is he doesn't know he's in the end zone. That might go down as the greatest play in Raider history. I know it's going to go down as the greatest play in Jim Rome history. That's the reason I got into this business decades ago, so I could see and talk about plays like that. As Smith said afterwards, if you watch the play, I didn't stop when I scored. I thought I had 8 more yards to go. It had a backyard football-ish feel to it. Yeah, backyard football-ish or back-asswards-ish. Man, that could not have been any more backwards or any more backwoods than it was. They should have just made Aaron Rodgers the all-time quarterback, and then he could have played for both teams on that short field. Except he didn't play at all. Again, because they were on a short field. And then maybe most ridiculous of the entire thing was this tweet from the Raiders after the game. The Raiders tweeted, quote, "Thank you for your incredible hospitality and kindness, Winnipeg. It was a night we won't forget." How bonehead is that? Or one that read in part, quote, "The Raiders offense finished with a 67% red zone efficiency and a 100% conversion rate on fourth downs," end quote. Man, that is so awesome. Piece of advice, though. Maybe you don't hype the red zone stats when the entire field is a red zone. And no, this is not me bashing Winnipeg or Canada. I don't need your jokes about how an 80-yard field is correct given the conversion rate, or that the stadium owners must have shortchanged the construction crew in pelts on payday, or that the reason they couldn't get this thing fixed in time was because there was a line at Canada's only payphone. And how about the other venues that try to get in on this? Like Edmonton. How bad must Edmonton feel about itself that they got passed over for this debacle? How terrible are their fields that they lost out to a place that had an 80-yard field? What the hell were the Raiders doing in Canada in the first place? They couldn't find a 100-yard field near Oakland? What about, I don't know, Hayward, San Leandro, Concord, Walnut Creek, Dublin, Danville, Napa, reaction? I'll give you my reaction. Last night could not have been any more Raiders or any more exhibition, and it could not be any more awesome. If you want to get me to care about the exhibition season, give me more of that, because that was my favorite exhibition game ever. Hell, that might have been my favorite football game ever. How do you know? I didn't even get to the fact that my main man, Nate Pete. That's right. Nate Pete was slinging it all over that short yard. Not only Nate Pete, but Nate Pete outplayed another jungle favorite. Or at least you ghouls' favorite player, Mike Glennon. That's how strong that was. Canada, come strong because you're ass in a war. Have I not given you enough to talk about? Edmonton. How'd that taste? Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Toronto, Ontario. Man, what a night. What a game. What a life. Let's get to some reaction right quick. Hey, look, you got me to talk about it. Not only did you get me to talk about it, you got me to open up the show with it. Not only did you get me to open up the show with it, I'm running long, yo. That's a long open. Hey, Jim, we shouldn't be surprised that Canada came up short when hosting an NFL game, given the country's track record on this show. Jeremiah in Greenville. Hey, Rome, don't make the mistake of blaming the entirety of Canada for that garbage field that Winnipeg rolled out for the Raiders-Packers preseason game. Winnipeg is the Kentucky of Canada. It's filled with unimportant, toothless, broke morons, and any event scheduled there should be more than aware of the idiotic nonsense that won Sue. Signed, Matt in Vancouver. Wore Caleb in Green Bay having to sit down and put his shoes on. All right, fair enough, Matt. But again, I did not blame all of Canada. Notice I didn't do that. In fact, I said I'm not here to blame anybody. Just to talk about what happened. All right, so Matt is still the one Canadian who's taking part. Dear Jim, I had no problem with that field in Winnipeg only being 80 yards long. However, it may have been a bit too Canadian when, instead of stick'em, the receivers had to coat their hands with maple syrup. The flyover during the national anthem was performed by a flock of geese. And in lieu of a skydiver landing with the official game pigskin, Matt and Tyler rode a dog sled to midfield and handed the official a rancid beaver pelt. Signed, Canadian Lex, elk herder, and igloo remodeler, eh? All right, then, 1-800-636-8686. It's a good day. It's a good day for you to call a show. What do you want to cover? Other topics. There has been a Conor McGregor sighting. I could do an entire hour on Conor showing up, Conor sharing his thoughts, Conor sounding contrite, whether or not Conor meant what he said. Is he really sorry, or is he sorry that he's in the position that he's in right now? I do want to cover that. Also, the last 24 hours have been big for the Bolivian marching powder, cocaine. That's what's up. Got a whole story on that, too. An entire story on what the last 24 hours have meant in terms of the booger sugar. Hey, go ahead. I challenge you to do this. Find me a better phrase than booger sugar. And Brooks Koepka does not give a damn about you. And I'm here for it. I like this guy more and more every single day. All of that's coming up. Langston Galloway next hour. Adrian Martinez next hour. TJ Watt in hour three. Alvin's iconic week that was in hour three. Getaway weekend for me. I'm off Monday because I'll be hanging out with Chris Beard in Lubbock, Texas. Stay on it. 1-800-636-86. 86.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Like I said, the NFL would love us to really care a lot about exhibition football. Two problems. Star players get hurt, and they play on short fields in Canada. Honestly. You've already got Cam Newton trying to come back from a shoulder surgery. Now he injures this ankle. And, you know, maybe it's not that bad. But he did leave. He didn't come back. And he's got history with that ankle. That ankle was previously surgically repaired. And gets dinged in an exhibition game. If I'm a head coach or a general manager or an owner, you know, I got to wonder, and the NFL's not going to like this, but I would wonder why you would ever play anybody who matters in an exhibition game. Email reads, Romy Rome, football is here. Let's go. At least now Cam has a legit pimp walk and an excuse to use that pimp cane. But he can pimp me out to McCaffrey any day. Damn, dude's a beast. War Mac attack on Rogers' Canadian tuxedo ass. War Lady Clones, Case Savage.
War Lady Clones.
In Texas. Look who's back. Case Savage. She is, too. You know, for a long time, Caitlin, Kay Savage, she signs it Kay Savage in Texas. For a long time, we didn't know if Caitlin was a thing. You know, if we were getting catfished. And I'm like, this lady clone is like one of the coolest clones ever. But is she who she says she is? We didn't really know. And then some of you clones did some legwork, and Kay Savage is, in fact, Kay Savage. War Lady Clones. Nice job, Caitlin. Dear Vance Mack, I wanted to offer a few suggestions for your international jet setting this weekend. Number one, do not lose your laptop. But if you do, it's okay because you're rich as hell and you can just buy another one. Just maybe not in Lubbock. Number two, do not drop your iPhone in the water. Number three, do not wear assless chaps. They are very popular in Texas. And they will probably pressure you to wear them, but don't. Thank you and have a great trip. Preston in Atlanta. My man, none of those three things are going to happen. I promise you. None of those three things will happen. I'm telling you. I promise you. All right, let's check out the phones. 1-800-636-8686. Boy, this one jumped today. Let's go to Virginia Beach. Angel in Virginia Beach. Angel, how are you? What's up?
Hey, hello. How are you doing, Mr. Rome?
Good, good, Angel. How are you?
Doing fine. My first time calling. Cool. I might be a little bit nervous. Hey, I just know you said you wanted some more lady clones to call, so here I am. My dream is to actually have you roast and totally annihilate me on air. So if it happens, dream come true. But before I get to my beef with you, I just wanted to say congrats on the Hall of Fame. It should have been years ago. Now on to the beef I have. I'm 3 months pregnant, and I'm hormonal as hell, and I'm still not going to be a total whiny bitch like Jeff in where is he from?
San Antonio, right?
Yeah, San Antonio and Marty and NoCal. I'm still not going to be a whiny bitch like them about it. I just want to say, pick up where Ryan left off yesterday as far as Rammstein. You know, you guys saying that they sucked and Du Hast was the worst song ever made. And, you know, that was released over here. I don't know why it wasn't truly the worst song, but they do have, like, a lot of really, really good songs. So I just wanted to kind of clear that up with you. But I totally agree with you on Nickelback, 100%. Always have, always will. That's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Angel, that was so good. What a great first-time call that was. All right, so I'm going to address what she was talking about with Rammstein in a minute. But I want to first address that she said, I'm hormonal and I'm pregnant, but I, quote, still will not be a whiny bitch like Jeff in San Antonio or Marty in NoCal, because they are whiny bitches. The reason we're talking about Rammstein and Du Hast is because Orion called yesterday. And one more thing, Angel, I did not say that Rammstein sucks or that Du Hast sucks. I did not say that. Orion was the one who called up yesterday and said, hey, Rome, I'm glad that you respect Rammstein and that you play the band, but you always play one song from the band, Du Hast, and the song does suck, Rome. It's their worst song ever. So why do you always play that song? And the guy was getting more and more worked up, more and more worked up, more and more worked up. And then I basically played him right off the stage with Du Hast.
It is the musical equivalent of a triple U. Unlistenable, unoriginal, uninspired.
Do you know what's a triple U, Orion? You're getting so fired up that you start making up words. Like unintelligible.
Unoriginal.
Unoriginal, I mean. Unintelligible would have been fine. Unoriginable.
Unoriginable.
You know what, Orion? Your phone call was awful-able.
Unoriginable.
It was terrible-able.
Unoriginable.
Angel, she's funny. Like, she wanted to beef with me, but she couldn't. She likes me too much. She likes the show too much. That's no beef, Angel. Angel, I so badly wanted to give you what you wanted. I want to make all your dreams come true by roasting you. But you didn't say anything that was roastable. Not only can I not roast you, I racked you. That was a really good call. And you're right, I do want more from the Lady Colognes. In that segment alone, Kay Savage got an email read, and Angel got racked. Lady Colognes make the show better. They just do not participate as much. They make the show better. Hey, Jim, that field in Winnipeg was only 80 yards? We can supply the missing 20 if you catch our drift. Yours, all of the self-gloss callers last Friday. Mike in Buffalo, helping them on the regular. We're drinking a bunch of wobbly pops later. You know, I knew that self-gloss Friday was going to be a problem. What I did not know about self-gloss Friday was there would be 15 minutes of you glossing your junk. I mean, I thought there might be a little bit of that, but I really did not expect 15 minutes of exclusive junk glossing. It was self-gloss Friday, not junk glossing Friday. Self-gloss Friday, not package glossing Friday. Self-gloss Friday, not unit glossing Friday. We will never do that ever again. Vadi. I like Vadi. Vadi in Pasadena tweets, or actually emails. Hey, Rome, I heard there's going to be a huge line at Kit's place tonight. Just another Friday night for me. Regards, Powder Chung. War Chung hoisting a kilo while chanting, blow pays off. Blow pays off. Hey, Vadi, you proud of yourself?
No days off.
You should be.
No days off.
Listen.
No days off.
There's an indictment involved.
No days off.
But it doesn't mean there's a conviction coming.
No days off.
Blow pays off. I will get into that story a little bit later on. And finally, one more email as I go to break. Dear Rick in Buffalo, it was great seeing you last night. We look forward to our continued relationship throughout the weekend. Regards, strip club ATM fees, penicillin shots, 50 cent pieces, and $2 bills covered in scented glitter and beer cans full of cigarette butts. Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. War Irae, letting Rick use a dead possum as a fanny pack. Why you gotta hate? I've been following Rick and his escapades. My man's been in HB. He's been in the LBC. He found a legend like the CEO. He's having himself a time now. Hey, Rick, are you awake yet? He also had tweeted the other day, Hey, Jim! Can you return the show to its original starting time? 9 a.m. is too early. Rick, I need an update, bro. I need an update. I need to hear how your time here in SoCal is going and what the big plan is for tonight at Kits. My man Matt in Vancouver's back. War drunk pregnant women calling the Jim Rome show. I don't know that she was drunk. I know she was pregnant. She said so. Hey, Maddie, what's up, man? Good to have you back. Good to have you back. When we return. Man, that's smooth. That's fun. So far, so good. This is one of those days where you clones are making it better. Get another phone call or two in here. Yeah, you know why, though? The Lady Clone set the table. Great email from Kay Savage to set it up. Then Angel came in and got racked.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Friday, so you get to ask me a question. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros and ask your question there. think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This tweet is from Dennis Silver. Quote, hell yes, the lady clones set the table. And they made the dinner. And they did the dishes. And they took out the trash. And they swept the floor. War lady chores. Stupidest tweet in quite some time. Yo, K-Man. Yo, K-Man. 1531 called. It wants its take back. They make it better. K-Savage set the table with that email. Angel, a pregnant lady clone, called and got racked. The two of them made the first hour better. All right, so for the first time in a long time, Conor McGregor showed up. He showed up somewhere and he did not sucker punch an old man or sucker punch a bus window or sucker punch a phone out of somebody's hand. In fact, even better, he showed up and did an interview with Ariel Helwani. And he actually seemed to be owning all of that boorish behavior. Remember, this is the same guy who was once on record as saying that he would apologize to absolutely nobody.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
So now, a seemingly contrite Conor was looking to apologize to just about everybody, starting with the old guy that he dotted in that bar in Dublin.
I was in the wrong. That man deserved to enjoy his time in the pub without having it to end the way it did. And although 5 months ago it was, and I tried to make amends, and I made amends back then, it's still, the fans don't even, that does not even matter. I was in the wrong. I must come here before you and take accountability and take responsibility. And I owe it to the people that have been supporting me. I owe it to my mother, my father, my family. I owe it to the people who trained me in martial arts. That's not who I am. That's not the reason why I got into martial arts or studying combat sport. The reason I got into it was to defend against that type of scenario.
Isn't that interesting? That's not the reason I got into that. In fact, I got into it to prevent that type of thing. So if you're surprised by that response, I think that you've got every reason to be, because that sounds like a different Conor McGregor. He wasn't defiant. He wasn't angry at the old man. He wasn't blaming the old dude for smashing Conor's fist with his face. He did not say the old man had that coming to him because he disrespected the former double champ when he refused his offer of a free shot. I mean, sure, he would have been the biggest dope ever if he did say those things, but it's not what he said. And not only is it not what he said, it's how he said what he said. It sounded, and I want to stress, sounded. It sounded sincere. It sounded contrite. It sounded like he's owning all the stupid things he's done since coming out of nowhere to become the biggest thing in the world. Now, time will tell. I don't know if he's just telling the world, and Dana White, for instance, what they want to hear, or if he actually believes what he's saying. In other words, is he really sorry for what he's done, or is he sorry for the position he finds himself in? Like, I really want to believe the guy. Just like I really want to believe that he understands that he's on the verge of bleeping it all up. Bleeping, losing everything. And that he is trying to change that. Again, he has to say these things. The question is, does he actually believe what he's saying? I'll say it sounds like he does. See, a thing that's always been baffling about Conor acting like a moron and doing dumb things is that he's not a dumb guy. He's actually a smart guy. A smart guy who has done some really dumb things, like punching old dudes in bars in arguments over whiskey. So Ariel asked Conor if he had an anger problem.
I need to just stop reacting to the bait. I've got to ask, like, people are trying to bait me into things. Am I the fish or am I the whale? I must be calm. I must be zen. I must lead by example. There's so many people looking up to me. How can I react in this way? I need to get a hold of this. And I'm, like I said, I'm working very hard to do this.
Right. Am I the fish or am I the whale? Exactly. I'll tell you what you are. What you are is a target. You know, like all super famous, wealthy people, a target who somebody will always try to hook. Unfortunately, right now, you're the fish. You know, and there are dudes throwing their lines off a pier, and they keep hooking that same fish that keeps coming up for the bait. But the fact that he seems to know this, finally, and is talking about this, leads me to believe that he's done some level of work on himself. Some level of work on his mind, something Dana White suggested on this show last week that Connor has to do right now.
You know what, Jim? You get to the point where you look at a guy like Connor and you look at the bus incident in New York, right? And all the other, the camera, the phone, the guy took the picture of him in Miami and he slaps the phone. What's the number? What's it going to cost Connor McGregor before he decides, all right, this isn't worth it. Enough is enough. I need to stop doing this. You know, the incident in New York cost him millions he had to pay out. You know, he had to pay the guy with the phone. What's he going to pay this guy that he hit in the bar? You know, and the list just goes on and on. And I just don't know when he wakes up and says, I've got to stop doing this.
Yeah, so it sounds like he has. Maybe Connor gets it. Maybe this is where he pulls the plane up right before it slams into the side of a mountain. Better be, because as Dana also said last week, man, we've seen this play out hundreds of times before, and it never ends well.
I mean, we've all seen this story before. This isn't new. This, we saw this movie. We read this book, whatever the deal is. If you stay down that path, it definitely doesn't end well.
Never. So maybe that interview with Ariel was a sign that Connor has seen that movie. He has read that book. Maybe it has a different ending. Maybe he'll wake the hell up before he loses everything that he worked for. Like, I hope so. Because while no one person is bigger than the sport, something Connor did not understand before, but maybe does now, that sport is still better, way better when he is squared away. He's still one of the best gladiators I've ever seen. He still has one of the best backstories that I've ever heard. And he still might be the single greatest showman in all of sports right now. Hey, Connor, you've said all the right things. Now prove that you mean them by doing the right things. Double champ sounds a hell of a lot better than double dope. Like, I love the guy. I'm pulling hard for the guy. I hope this guy truly is doing the hard work. I hope this guy truly believes what he's saying, and I hope this guy can prove that he can be that guy all over again. I'm still a little skeptical, but I'm hopeful. Man, do it, Connor. Let's see what you got, Connor. Stop punching old guys in the face, Connor. Save it, as Dana White said. If you're going to punch guys in the face, get paid for it. So, do you think this guy was just telling us what we all want to hear, or do you think he means it? Do you believe it? 1-800-636-8686. We'll come back and I'll open it up to you. Open phones for a segment. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Tremendous Friday to you. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686.